Okay, sorry, I teach. I'm like, are y'all alive out there? All right, great. Thank you all very much for coming. As Nina said, my name is Lisa Lindley, and I'm on the faculty. Okay, thank you. I'm on the faculty in the Department of Health Promotion, Education, and Behavior at the University of South Carolina in the Arnold School of Public Health. And my presentation today is on sexually transmitted infections among sexually active female college students and looking to see whether there's a difference based on sexual orientation and gender of sex partners. Before I get started, I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues who assisted on this project with me, all from the School of Public Health. Dr. Heather Brand is actually here in the back. Yo, Heather. All my other colleagues are back in South Carolina. And I just want to acknowledge that I do not have any financial relationships at all. Sad to say. Okay. Let's start out with some background. As I'm sure most of you are aware, college students are at risk for sexually transmitted infections. In particular, they're at risk for HPV, the human papillomavirus, chlamydia, and genital herpes. Those are among the most commonly reported among college students. In particular, female students, college students, are at risk because they're more likely to use alcohol and to have a greater number of sex partners than their non-college attending folks at the same age. We also know that women, particularly young women who have an immature cervix, are at greater risk for certain sexually transmitted infections, particularly HPV and chlamydia. I know you said to push here, but I don't know. I'm weird. Yeah, whatever. Thank you. Also, if you're not familiar, lesbian and bisexual women are also at risk for sexually transmitted infections. And some of the leading risk factors that have been associated with STIs among this population include older age, which kind of goes along with having a greater number of sex partners. Of course, substance use, particularly injection drug use, having vaginal intercourse with men, and earlier age of first same-sex experience. It's also important to note, though, that transmission of BV or bacterial vaginosis, trichomoniasis, HPV, and genital herpes have been well documented between and prevalent among women, whether they've had sex with men or not. In addition, we know there has been very few studies that look at STI risk among young lesbian and bisexual women, and even fewer looking at college women in particular. There have also been very few studies, only one study that I've seen that's looked at differences in STIs based on gender of partners and sexual orientation. So basically, the purpose of our study was to determine the risk for STIs, and this is just looking within the past year among sexually active female college students. And we're comparing again based on their self-reported sexual orientation and the gender of their sex partners within the past year. And this is a secondary analysis from data from the American College Health Association's National College Health Assessment Survey. And this is the spring 2006 data set. During the spring 2006, 123 post-secondary institutions self-selected to participate in the National College Health Assessment. 117 of those institutions used random sampling, either a random sampling of classrooms or of individual students. 92 of those utilized a web-based format, 22 did a paper and pencil format, 3 did both. Most were four-year public institutions, and they had a total of just under 95,000 students take the survey, which is a pretty healthy N. And especially for females, there were nearly 58,000. However, for our study, we reduced the sample down. We just wanted to look at sexually active females. So sexually active we defined as having one or more sex partners in the past year. And we wanted to look at traditional age college students, which is 18 to 24. We also pulled out international students in our sample. So we had just under 30,000 within our sample. The age range, as I said, was 18 to 24. The mean age was just over 20 years. It was a predominantly white sample, but if you notice, there's a fairly even distribution across the first 4 years of school. We also had a number of students who were in their fifth year undergrad or were graduate students. These were the direct measures taken from the National College Health Assessment with regard to sexual orientation and gender of sex partners. With regard to sexual orientation, the question was, which of the following best describes you? The students could select heterosexual, gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, or unsure. We did not include transgendered in our analyses. First of all, they have two different variables. Sexual orientation, or the gender to which someone is attracted, sexually attracted, is different from sexual, or excuse me, gender identity, how someone identifies whether male or female. So we pulled out the transgender students in our investigation. We also, within the last year, were your sex partners, if any, male, female, or both male and female. We took out those who said this was not applicable. Just some of our demographic information. Excuse me. As you see, most of the women identified as heterosexual, a little bit over 3% identified as bisexual. Most had a male sex partner in the past year, and a little over 2%, or approximately 2%, had either female partners only or both male and female partners. And again, this is just within the past year. And then looking at number of partners within the past year, 65% had one, 35% had two or more. And I want to bring this up because this is something we can talk about later, is noticing risk by putting women who've had sex with both males and females in a category. They're already in a high-risk group. They've already had two partners. And so I also want to look at what is the risk among women who had only female partners but two or more female partners, and same thing, two or more male partners. So I just wanted to provide that information as well, and we'll look at some of their risk. Looking at the gender of their sex partners, just in the past year, again, by sexual orientation, you notice here that most heterosexual women said that they'd had sex with a male. Among lesbians, about 85% said they'd only had sex with females, but note 5% had sex with males, and another 10% had sex with both males and females, again, in the past year. Among bisexual women, over half said that they'd had sex with males only. Almost 10% had sex with females only, and more than a third had had sex with both males and females. And then for students who said they were unsure of their sexual orientation, again, most had sex with males, but again, almost 14% had sex with both males and females in the past year. The measure for STIs included this. It was within the last school year. Have you had any of the following? And basically, students just check off which ones they've had. Chlamydia, genital herpes, HPV, genital warts, gonorrhea, and HIV were the five STIs that we looked at in this investigation. And having an STI then would include having one or more of those infections in the past year. Looking at the percent that reported having an STI in the past year by sexual orientation, I probably note that the bisexual women had the highest percent of cases with 9%. Lesbians had the least with 2%. And there was also a significant difference based on being infected with HPV in the past year. Again, bisexual women more likely, and lesbians least likely. We're going to come back to this, though. Also looking at the report, the percent reporting an STI in the past year by gender of sex partners. Again, you note those who had sex with both males and females were significantly more likely to have had an STI in the past year than those who only had male partners or only had female partners. And they were also more likely to have had HPV, chlamydia, and genital herpes. This is just looking at those women who had two or more partners, and still women who had both male and female sex partners were significantly more likely to have had an STI in the past year. Chlamydia dropped out, but HPV and genital herpes, there was still a significant difference in their risk. This is kind of coming back to where we talked about the lesbians were less likely to have an STI. We also found they were much less likely, to have had a gynecological exam in the past year. Overall, about 72% of the sexually active female college students had a routine gynecological exam in the past year, compared to about half of women who identified as gay or lesbian, and about half of women who said they only had female sex partners. Lesbians were actually 68% less likely to have had a gynecological exam in the past year than heterosexual women. This is looking at the percent of sexually active women who ever engaged in oral, vaginal, or anal intercourse, again, by sexual orientation and gender of sex partners. Now, the definitions were left open for what is oral sex, vaginal intercourse, and anal intercourse. But if you note here, the bisexual women were more likely, significantly more likely, to have engaged in oral and anal sex, as were women who engaged in sex with both males and females in the past year. Lesbians and women who only had sex with women in the past year were less likely to have engaged in vaginal intercourse, but you note over nearly three quarters of them had engaged in vaginal intercourse in the past, or had ever engaged in vaginal intercourse. Again, we don't know what that means. Was that with a man or with a penis that is not attached to a man? We don't know. Also looking at whether they used a condom the last time they engaged in oral, vaginal, or anal intercourse among those who had ever engaged in these behaviors. You notice that it was interesting to me. Lesbians and women who were unsure of their orientation were more likely to report using a condom the last time they had oral sex. I am not sure what that means. Also looking at whether they used a condom at last vaginal intercourse, lesbians and women who only had sex with women, not surprisingly, were less likely to have used a condom. And bisexual and women who were unsure were more likely to use a condom during anal intercourse. Looking at their number of sex partners in the past year, bisexual orientation and gender partners overall, it was just under 2 partners. But bisexual and unsure women were more likely to have had a greater number of sex partners in the past year than heterosexual or lesbian women. And women who had sex with both male and female partners had significantly more partners. Now again, looking at having 2 or more partners, the number of partners basically doubled for the males and the females, but it was still significantly more among women who had sex with both males and females in the past year. Looking at, this is just among bisexual women, just wanted to see what is going on just within that subgroup. The number of sex partners based on the gender of partner, again, we found a significant difference. With those who had sex with both males and females in the past year, they had significantly more partners than those who only had sex with women or only had sex with men, and this also goes for if they had 2 or more partners. This is the odds ratios that we calculated for having an STI in the past year by sexual orientation. You notice lesbians, again, were 62% less likely to have had an STI compared to their heterosexual counterparts, while bisexual women were 59% more likely than their heterosexual counterparts to have an STI, and 4 times more likely than lesbians to have had an STI in the past year. Women who were unsure of their sexual orientation were almost 3 times more likely than lesbians to have had an STI in the past year. Looking at odds of an STI again by gender of sex partners, women who had sex with both males and females were 3.5 times more likely to have had an STI than women who only had sex with other women, and over six times more likely to have had an STI than women who only had sex with other women. Did I say that? It was men in the first one. I apologize. But looking at those, again, who had 2 or more partners, again, those who had sex with both men and women were nearly twice as likely to have an STI, and over 2 times more likely, nearly 3 times more likely to have an STI than women who had sex only with other women in the past year, or 2 or more partners. All right, so what does this mean? Basically, this was the first large-scale national sample examining STI risk among sexually active female college students by sexual orientation and by gender of sex partners. We found that bisexual women in our study were at greatest risk for STIs, and lesbian women were at the least risk. However, like I mentioned earlier, lesbians and women who only had sex with other women were significantly less likely to have had a routine gynecological exam in the past year, meaning it's possible that they may have had STIs that were undiagnosed. And in fact, other research has found that, especially with herpes and HPV, a lot of women who had sex with women were diagnosed and had no idea that they even had it. It's also equally important to note that not all bisexual students were at high risk. It's the subpopulation of women, independent of sexual orientation, how they identify, who had the greatest risk for STIs. And this included 1/3 of the bisexual identified women, 14% of women who said they were unsure of their orientation, and 10% of lesbians. Obviously, there are a number of limitations with our study. It was a cross-sectional data. It utilized multiple data collection methods that have their own unique limitations, especially when you're doing web-based surveying. It was also self-selection bias. The colleges and universities paid for, self-selected to participate in this study. It was based on self-reported data, especially with regard to the sexual behaviors. We're not really clear on what some of that means, especially when there are no definitions for vaginal intercourse or oral intercourse, etc. Or had an STI was the question. Did you have any of these? It doesn't look at how long they've had them. Were they diagnosed? We don't know any of that. And we could not verify whether they had them or not. And also, simply by creating the having sex with both males and females created a quote-unquote high-risk group in and of itself, because they've already had 2 or more partners that could increase their risk for STIs. So we don't know, is there risk due to the gender of their partners, the number of their partners, or some combination of the both? We'll need to look at those. Lastly, we need to do additional research to understand the subpopulation of women who have sex with both men and women to understand their elevated risk-taking. And in a separate study that we've done, we also found that the subpopulation of women were more likely to use substances and to engage in a variety of high-risk behaviors. So this is a quote-unquote high-risk group, and we need to understand what is going on with this particular subgroup of women. It's vital that college and sexual health professionals understand the difference. We find that a lot of people don't understand the difference between sexual orientation, sexual identity, and sexual behavior. And when assessing risk for STIs, clearly you need to focus on sexual behavior and not make assumptions about someone's identity or orientation. We need to develop educational efforts or enhance our educational efforts that are targeting lesbians or women who have sex with women and make sure that we're addressing their risk for STIs. They understand that they can get STIs from other women as well as from men. Emphasizing safer sex practices, and of course the importance of regular gynecological exams that include pap tests and understanding the frequency with which they should be getting those exams. And of course we need to do additional research to understand why young lesbians and women who have sex with women are not getting their gynecological exams as recommended. That's it.
Thank you.
We doing questions at the end? Okay.
Sense to do about some questions right now, so if we...
Yes, ma'am.
Did you find any differences in the types of STIs by sexual behavior?
By sexual behavior? Didn't look at that. We can go back and look at that, though. You mean by anal sex versus vaginal sex?
No, I meant the different STIs, chlamydia, HPV.
We did find significant... You mean by orientation and behavior? We do. Did you see those? Let's go back. Or maybe I'm missing what you're asking me. This is by orientation.
I was just thinking of
okay.
Were any of the differences significant?
Yes. The ones in yellow were significant. And that's by sexual orientation, and then this is by gender of partners. Actually, we did, yes, and there were still significant differences even based on orientation and those, again, who had two or more partners were still at greater risk.
There wasn't any question about whether they had an STD screen?
No. That's the limitations of this data, definitely. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. No, because I've been thinking about that a lot. I've been trying to figure out what that means, because if they're engaging in a variety of behaviors, I'm not sure what is going on. Is that their means of coping, or are they a high-risk population to begin with, personality-wise? I don't know. I can't answer that. But that's one of the things that I think we need more research in to understand, because I think, at least in my perception and in my reality, a lot of people just think, oh, bisexual women are at greater risk, but we found in this study, it's really a subpopulation of bisexual women. It's not all bisexual women. And so I can't answer your question, but I think that's something that we need to be exploring. Yes, ma'am. What differences you mean in their demographics or in STIs?
More in their risk, yeah.
In their risk? In some areas, they were very similar, the unsures and the bisexuals. But in other areas, they were more like heterosexual. So it's again, that's another thing we need to look at. What is it about young people who are unsure, and are they quote-unquote experimenting, or what is going on with them that's increasing or decreasing their risk? Good question. Yes, ma'am.
Do you think the way to find out more is to just ask more questions in these kinds of surveys? Like, start asking questions about anything from, like, family history to religious beliefs to, like, all kinds of questions to try to figure out?
Well, ideally, yeah. I wouldn't include it in this survey. This is just one piece. The National College Health Assessment asks, it's a pretty long survey, and it asks about a variety of health risk behaviors. It asks about smoking and different substance use, and even their perception of their peers' use. I think what you're asking, yes, we need to be doing studies on that, but I would keep it probably specific to looking at STI and sexual health issues. I mean, you can also do it with other risk behaviors as well, but I wouldn't add it to this specific survey. And this survey has so many limitations, it was very frustrating in some cases. You want to go, what does that mean? But we were limited by, obviously, having secondary data. Yes, ma'am.
Can you repeat which subpopulation of bisexual
It actually was regardless of their orientation, and you see at the bottom, whether they identified as heterosexual, bisexual, et cetera. So it was about a third of the bisexuals. Are you asking for demographic information? I can provide that for you. I don't have it today. But it's the subpopulation within the different classifications of orientation. Regardless of how they identified, these women were more likely to be at risk. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we tried to look, we actually did look across different racial and ethnic groups to see if there were differences. The numbers were so small, though, it made it very challenging. Especially, I mean, we could lump together males and females, but those are so distinctly different, it's very difficult, with this data set at least. No, and that's a great point. In fact, we just did a study with sexual minority women in South Carolina, and BV was by far the most frequently diagnosed STI. It was not asked in the survey. Thank you. I'll get out of here.